welcome everyone, both those of you here in the worship center and those of you joining us online as we're continuing week three of this series titled Dirt Check. Dirt Check. So what is this series all about? Well, we know that Jesus was a master teacher. He told stories that made people think. He told stories that made them reflect. And one of the favorite stories that Jesus told was about a farmer who went out to sow seed. Now, I have always I've always liked this story because I would like to be considered a farmer of sorts myself. Hello? You know, I grew up around farming. My grandfather and two of my uncles were farming together when I was growing up as a kid. And so with all this background in farming, a few years ago, I decided I'm going to plant a garden in my backyard, and I've been farming ever since. Some years have been better than others. I'm still trying to figure out, you know, what I grow best. And so far, tomatoes are my best crop. I grow Roma tomatoes pretty well. I've tried to grow some other varieties, and they don't do so well, but I got it down about Roma tomatoes. Now, what I'm not so good at, it turns out, is cucumbers. Now, when I was a kid, I mean, you know, we grew cucumbers, and I loved to just be in the cucumber patch and trying to find them and then enjoy eating them. But, my cucumbers, I grow nice vines. The vines look, everything looks great. But my cucumbers regularly, these last several years, they come out more yellow than they are green. And so, you know, Kathy won't eat them. She won't eat them, and I try to eat them, and they're just not very good. So what my master farmer friend Google tells me is that I might be waiting too long to pick them. You know, I let them grow too long, or that I might be watering them too much, and you know, that makes perhaps some sense, or that I might have a nutrition imbalance in my dirt. The dirt is lacking in some way. There is so much to consider if I'm going to become a master farmer. And that, and what's going on, it turns out what's going on with the dirt is a big part of it. So we've said these last few weeks in Jesus' parable of the sower, he talked about seed and dirt. And in his story, what was going on with the dirt was part of it as well. Some of it we see was hard. Remember, some was hard, some was shallow. Some of it was full of weeds, and then some was fertile and ready. And as Jesus' followers heard the story, no doubt, they and others were asking the question, what does this story have to do with my life? What does this story about seeds and dirt have anything to do with me? And so, as we're looking at this parable over these few weeks, I've asked you to do this, to take a dirt check. A dirt check. Ask the question, what kind of soil does God find in my heart? Dirt check. What's going on in my life, in my heart? What kind of soil does God find in your heart? Dirt check. So Jesus made a point about the different kinds of soil or dirt, but he also wants us to be captivated by the power of God's Word. We have said through this series that there is such an amazing potential power in the Word of God. God, we know, is the Creator. He is the Spirit. God is light, but God is also the revealer of truth. And He has given us the gift of His Word to lead and guide and comfort us. Amen. Amen. He has given us the word to encourage and teach and heal us. Amen. He's given us his word to save, to redeem, and to bless. Amen. His word even to convict and even to confront us. Amen. Jesus said in Luke 8:11, let's read it together, the seed is the word of God. Think of all the ways that God's word can speak to us and bear fruit in our lives. I am so thankful that God has made his word available to us by the work of his Holy Spirit, inspiring various writers through the centuries, through the span of some several hundred, even thousands of years. It's really a remarkable part of our Christian story, how God, by the influence of his Holy Spirit, has spoken to us through the prophets and the apostles. I am so thankful that there is so much potential power available to us in the Word of God. And yet the question has to be regularly asked, am I opening it up? Am I letting it speak as God wants it to speak to me? So 2 weeks ago, I talked about the trampled life. Jesus said, you know, some hear the word, but before the seed can grow, the enemy comes and steals it away. We've got to be aware of the enemy. The enemy and his schemes, his wiles. He is a liar, and he is the father of lies. He comes to steal the word away. We've got to have compassion on those who have been trampled by life. We saw that some people have experienced hardship and difficulty. Right now, I'm thinking about people in the southeast who've been impacted by the flooding, and so many are just devastated. And when we experience life just coming down on us, we need to be people of compassion and care. Last week, I talked about the shallow life. Jesus said, some people hear the word begins to grow, and what an exciting time. The word begins to take root in somebody's life. It begins to grow, but they don't have roots. There's no maturity. And so when the heat comes in times of trial or tribulation, those persons we read about, Jesus says, fall away. We need to remember to put down roots and to prepare for the trials that will come, and also to help others do the same. Remember what we said last year, particularly we need to be thinking about mentoring new believers, brand new believers who receive the word and there's joy in their heart because of this new thing God is doing, but they are very vulnerable. Very vulnerable. They're not necessarily equipped for perhaps a trial or some persecution that might come. So we need to be very intentional to mentor, to come alongside new believers, particularly. They are so vulnerable. The shallow life. Today I want to talk about the stifled life. Now that word stifled can mean smothered or restrained or held back or choked. From our text today, we heard Jesus say in Luke 8:7 that other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up with it and what? Choked the plants. Now, what is Jesus trying to teach us here? What about this part of the story can we apply to our own individual lives? The first thing I would say is this. Sometimes God's word falls among thorns. As we've said, the Word of God has tremendous potential power, power to grow, power to change, power to transform us, power to multiply within us, power to create a wonderful harvest within us, but that result is not automatic. It doesn't just automatically happen. Jesus said God's Word can fall among thorns. And what do we know about thorns? Well, they grow, and they multiply, and they can flourish too. But in the end, with thorns, their result is always negative. Stickers and briars, thorns are produced. And really, when you think about it, they are good for nothing. They're good for nothing. They only end up being irritating and painful instead. So have you ever had a painful experience with stickers or thorns. Anybody? Painful experience, stickers or thorns? Sure. The neighborhood that I grew up with was in a new addition on the edge of town, and for the longest time, when I was in elementary school, for the longest time, our house backed up to this wheat field. I mean, you go out the backyard, this huge wheat field back there, and oh, we loved it. In the spring of the year, when the wheat was still green, it was grown up about this high, and I mean, man, what a great play area for kids. We would run through that, play hide and seek. I mean, we had such a great time. Now, Farmer Cook, he didn't like it so much because we trampled down too much of his wheat. But I remember one year when he must have decided, you know, I'm going to do something to get these kids. No, he really, I'm sure, didn't think that. But what he did decide was, I'm going to let the field go fallow. I'm not going to plant anything this year. He said, after he cut the wheat in the summer and turned the ground once, he didn't plant wheat that fall. He let the ground have a rest for a year. But the weeds didn't rest. In the absence of him sowing the wheat, the weeds grew, and they produced stickers like we do. And I remember playing kickball on the grass in my backyard in the spring of that next year. And I mean, you know, kickball, you know how that works. You kick the ball and you got to go run, get the ball, and you're either trying to catch it in the air or you're trying to catch it and throw it and hit somebody that's running. And so, you know, we played kickball a lot as a kid, and I remember somebody kicked the ball in my backyard. I'm playing, and I'm running to get that ball, man. I'm going to get that ball before it lands, and I'm running as fast as I can. Before I know it, I have ran out of the yard, and I have ran into that field, and in no time, I realize, oh, my goodness, My feet, I've got these stickers every step, and I got this momentum, and how can I stop? And finally I get stopped, but then I look back, I've come in 20 feet, what am I going to do? I've got pain, I've got all of this, and I'm saying to my friends, help, and somebody finally says, well, you fool, I don't know what we're going to do for you. No, somebody says, I think there's some cardboard in my garage. And so they stretched out these little pieces of cardboard about 20 feet in so that I could back out and not do any more damage. The pain of those stickers on my feet. I sometimes we just do foolish things. Oh, hello? But I remember thinking about that, as I was thinking about that story and thinking about our message today, here's what came to me. You know, God's Word, it always produces a good crop. It always produces a good crop. But thorns only produce good-for-nothing, painful crops in our lives. Amen? If we are not regularly planting the good seed of God's Word in our hearts, then we're given room for thorns to move in and to cause us what thorns do, cause us pain and heartache instead. My highest prayer for every believer in Jesus Christ is that we would develop a regular habit of planting the good seed of God's Word deep in our hearts. Plant it regularly, daily, deep in our hearts so that there is no room for thorns to get in there. But, you know, thorns, if we give them room, thorns will find their way. A second thing that I would say Jesus wants us to see from this story is this. The seed of God's Word, he said, begins to grow, but then is choked. Begins to grow, but then it's choked. The seed begins to have its effect. It begins to grow. And this, again, as we saw last week, is a very exciting time. When the seed begins to take root in our lives, What an exciting time, what a thrilling time, but it's also a very precarious time, very vulnerable time. And in this part of the story, as Jesus told it, over time, it's smothered. The seed is overpowered. The seed is choked. Jesus said in Luke 8:14, the seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are what again? So why is the seed choked? It's choked because other things are trying to grow all around it. The good seeds are growing, but the weeds, the stickers, the thorns are growing too. And that's not good. The good seed is competing with the bad seed for nutrients and moisture and sunlight. The good seed so often doesn't get the chance to flourish in the way that it's intended to in our lives because it is being choked. It's being choked. And so the result is God's word is stifled among thorns. God's word is stifled in us. God's word, it has so much great potential to change us, amen? To transform us, to heal us, to redeem us. And that's good news because we need those things. We need those things. We need to be set free from our hurts, our habits, our hang-ups. We need to be redeemed, yes, from our slavery to sin. I read that again this week. Paul says, in the past, we were slaves to sin. I don't know that I like that terminology, slaves to sin. I mean, but in fact, when I think about it, that is who we are. Before Christ, we have this propensity towards sin when we say, I'm not going to do it, and then there we are doing it. We need to be free from our slavery to sin because all of us have messed up. We've all messed up bad, and we need another chance. And thank goodness we serve the God who is the God of a second chance and a third chance and a fourth and a fifth and however many we need. God is willing to redeem us and to forgive us and to restore us. God's word has so much potential power, so much potential impact, but too often it's not realized. Instead, its effectiveness is stifled, is stunted, is choked in our lives because it's coping with too many other things. I think about what happens in the hearts and minds of too many young children or young people. There's so much potential in them, and yet sometimes they end up listening to the competing voices. They begin to believe lies like, you are no good, or you will never amount to anything, or you don't have what it takes, rather than hear the truth of God's word, which tells us you are special. You are a child of God, as we sang this morning. You are a child of God, created in God's image with special gifts and graces and abilities. And here's what I've discovered. Not only do young people struggle with hearing the battle of the voices, the enemy as opposed to what God would say to us, but adults, we battle as well. We all need to hear that God loves you, that God cares for you, that God is the one who is going to see your life make a difference. So what prevents that? Well, thorns and weeds and bad influences. Too often the truth of God's word is competing with the lies of the enemy. We need to recognize those lies and root them out. Take in more of God's word is the best antidote that we can have in order to be able to recognize the lies. That's a lie. That's not what the word says. I'm not have to listen to that. Take in more of God's word is an antidote against the lies. Of course, kids aren't perfect. Grandmother confronted her 3-year-old granddaughter and said, Are you eating your little sister's grapes? No, she replied with a look of innocence. I'm helping her learn to share. We love children. Amen. Jesus talked about some specific thorns in Luke 8:14. Jesus said, he said it in this way, the seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, But as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. The first thorn that Jesus mentions is worries. Worries. You know, there are plenty of things to worry about in this life. So as a kid, you know, we worry, am I going to make the team? Am I going to be able to be on the team? In junior high, we wonder, are these zits ever going to go away? In high school, we think, you know, will I ever feel comfortable with people of the opposite sex? Or in college, we think, you know, what am I going to do with the rest of my life? When we're married, the question is, will our love last? And then when we have kids, what were we thinking? We are way over our heads now. In caring for our own spouses, I'm sorry, for our own parents, how do we handle this? In navigating retirement issues and or finances, you know, what steps do we need to take next? In dealing with health concerns, oftentimes we wonder, I wonder, you know, when the shoe is going to drop. Certainly there are plenty of things to worry about over every stage of life, but if we allow these worries to consume our life, to dominate our thinking, God's Word doesn't have a chance. God's Word requires our faith in order to grow and to flourish. And instead, if we're focusing on our worries and fears, its power is choked and stifled and stunted. So what is it that you are worrying about? Remember in the Bible, Martha was the one who was always worried about preparations. And particularly, she got worried about preparations when Jesus was coming. But it was Mary, her sister, who simply said, you know what I want to do? I want to just sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to what it is that he has to say. You see, Mary was more strategic in her thinking. She was thinking, you know what? What can I do that's going to be most impacting in my life? I can be busy running around like Martha is, or I can just sit here and listen to what Jesus has to say and see how that will impact my life. Listening to and staying close to Jesus will always trump our worries. Amen? Worry will choke out the potential impact of God's Word in our life. Another thorn that Jesus mentions is riches. If we're consumed by gaining riches, trying to acquire them or trying to hold on to them, the effect of God's Word in our life will be choked, will be stifled, will be stunted. Lots of reasons today people pursue or choose to go after riches. Have you seen all the things that money can buy today? I mean, you go into a store, you go online, it's unbelievable. And so if we're not careful in the midst of this materialistic and consumer-driven world, we can become obsessed by this quest for riches. Reminds me of the story of the doctor who got caught up in it. There was a doctor, he gave a man 6 months to live. The man couldn't pay his bill, so the doctor gave him another 6 months. The quest for riches can choke the effect of God's Word out of our lives. Another thorn Jesus mentions is pleasures. Pursuit of pleasure can also stifle, can stunt, can choke the effect of God's Word in our life. Have you seen all the things that are out there to be experienced in the world of pleasure? All kinds of food and drink. There are mind-altering drugs and alcohol. There is sex and pornography, gambling, all kinds of thrill-seeking opportunities. It's amazing what the enemy, as well as we people, will come up with. And of course, God, get this, God created us with the capacity for pleasure, and so to experience pleasure within the boundaries of His will is part of our life for us. He wants us to experience that. But to become consumed or addicted to the experience of pleasure outside the boundaries of God's will is never His desire for us. Once again, if that happens in our lives, the potential effect of God's Word is stifled, is stunted, is choked. So what can we do? How can we guard against this choked, stunted, stifled life? First of all, I'd say this. Recognize thorns. There are so many things in life, negative influences that can become so if we are consumed by them. All they do is cause us pain. We need to recognize the power of thorns to hinder and to stifle, to stunt, to choke our lives, and then make the decision to stay away from thorns. Proverbs 22:5 says this, "The deceitful walk a thorny, treacherous road. Whoever values life will what? Stay away." Stay away from those things. The good news is God sends people in our lives to help us to recognize and to stay away from thorns. I realized when I was growing up, for me, it's not this way for everybody, but for me, my parents were, yes, a good source of helping me understand those things are thorns and you need to watch out for that. Then I had some good friends growing up who had the courage to say to me, "Bob, you know, we love you, brother, and don't be doing those things." And then, of course, I realized that as I got married, my wife, Kathy, was another wonderful person God brought into my life to help me to see these things are thorns. I appreciate all of my brothers and sisters in the body of Christ who hold me accountable and show me the way as well. We need to recognize thorns. Secondly, I would say this, we need to weed them out. Not only do we recognize the power and influence of thorns, worries, riches, pleasures, but we have to make every effort to weed them out of our lives. That's why worship, Bible study, enjoying the fellowship with other believers, and practicing generosity, all of these things are so important. Listen to how Paul talks about it in writing to the Colossians, Colossians 3, 7, and 8. He says, "You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must what? Rid yourselves of all such things as these." Again, that's why our relationship with Jesus Christ and the ministry of the body of Christ is so helpful. Though we know, you know, there are so many forces at work in the world today, yes, to minimize or to mute the influence of the church today. There is no greater force, I'm convinced, in the world than a healthy, thriving, spirit-filled, empowered local church that can help people across all the spectrums and all the generations and all the ethnic diversities and all of the socioeconomic spans in our culture. There is no better institution than a thriving, God-inspired, Holy Spirit-empowered local church making a difference in its community. There's nothing else like it out there. That's why tonight we said we want to go out and say to our community, say to our neighborhood, we want to partner with you. We want you to know us. We want to know you. Let's come together and see what God can do. Though no church is perfect, because they are led by imperfect people. Amen. Every one of them has within it the potential, with God's help, to make a difference in countless lives. Think about the world that we live in and what it would be like without the influence of Christ and the church, both in the past and the present. So what else can we do in response to combat the influence of these thorns? In addition to recognizing them and weeding them out, the last thing I'd say is this: keep your heart free. Keep your heart free. These thorns, worries, riches, pleasures, and others around us, they are trying to do what thorns do. They're trying to choke the influence of God's word in our life, to bring us no good, to consume us, and to try to enslave us, all the while causing us, in the end, tremendous pain. So when we experience the life-changing power of Jesus Christ and experience a new heart, a clean heart, a free heart, then let us do everything possible to keep our hearts free. Once we are free of the influence of thorns, as it happens, and it happens when we say yes to God, yes to Jesus Christ, yes to God's Holy Spirit, then let's not become enslaved again. Let's remain free. Paul said it this way in Galatians 5:1, "Christ has freed us so that we may enjoy the benefits of freedom. Therefore, be firm in freedom and don't become what? Slaves again. Do you want to be on top of your circumstances rather than on the bottom? Do you want to experience the sunshine of God's grace and know that, yes, indeed, He is smiling on you? Then find freedom. And find freedom from the thorns of this life and their negative influences through the power of Jesus Christ. That truly is, I am convinced, more than I ever have been. That is the ticket. Remember this, Jesus wants us to free us. He wants to free us from a stifled life, a choked life. And when the Son sets you free, you are, as we sang earlier, free indeed. Amen? Amen. Let's go to the Lord. Let's pray about it. Heavenly Father, Almighty God, gracious Master, merciful and everlasting King, we thank You for Your Word and its life-giving, life-changing, life-rearranging power in us. We know that the influence of the thorns of life are real, and we can become consumed by our worries or the quest for riches or the pursuit of pleasures. And each of these things has the power, yes, to choke, to stifle, to stunt what You want to do in our lives. Lord, help us to recognize these thorns at work. Help us to weed them out by the power of Your Spirit, and help us to keep our hearts free through our faith in Christ and the fellowship we enjoy, Lord, with You and with one another. Lord, we want to be fruitful disciples, not choked, not stifled, not stunted ones. So give us courage to, yes, consider a dirt check. What is the condition of the soil in my heart? What's going on there, Lord? And what's the next step You want me to take? Let's pray that simple and honest prayer before God. Everyone said, Amen.